We're going to look now at the second reading, which is 1 Timothy 6, 11 to 16. If you remember from last week, we're just moving through 1 Timothy here. And we're in chapter 6. And you see, Paul is talking here about talking about, you know, but you, man of God, avoid all this, you see? Instead, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. It's work. If you want to enter eternal life, you got to run a mile every day to stay in shape. If you want to really make it in, you got to run 4 miles and win the race. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were called when you were made the noble profession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. And now I charge you before God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who gave testimony under Pontius Pilate for the noble confession. Now that's, I don't know why they translate that way. Martyrisantos, bearing witness under Pontius Pilate, or in, you know, under Pontius Pilate, they have the same thing. But the blessed, until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessed and only ruler will make manifest at the proper time the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, and whom no human being has seen or can see. To him be eternal life and power. And that's the way that part of the text goes, you see. Now we get into the second part. He's going to skip that. I'm going to read it, though, because it's important. Tell the rich in the present age not to be proud and not to rely on so uncertain a thing as wealth, but rather on God, who richly provides us with all things for our enjoyment. Tell them to be good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share, thus accumulating as treasure a good foundation for the future, so as to win the life that is true life. You can meet very devout, holy people who are quite wealthy. They have great respect for God. And so this is telling these folks. First, he's advising Timothy, you see. O man of God, flee all these things that we've just been talking about, the love of money and all that, you see. And pursue righteousness. And then some beautiful evsevion, pistin, agapin, you see, devotion, faith, love, so forth. And then fight the good fight. Now that's translated now, compete well for the faith. It's not bad. But it's saying, you see, fight. Even if you're going to make it to heaven, you're pretty sure, do you fight to preach the gospel? Do you fight to find a way to tell your uncle he's in trouble? Do you fight to tell the teenage kids that they're wandering away from the love of Jesus Christ and tell them in a way that'll win them over? Which is not fighting, but it's fighting against yourself. You see? And so, and then it says, you see, keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. That the blessed and only ruler will make manifest at the proper time the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When the Lord comes, the Father will manifest who he is, and the whole world will gasp. There he is. He is a man, but he's radiant with divinity, and he has the authority. He's reading my heart right now. He has authority to judge me and tell me what my eternal lot is going to be. That's who he is. I better get to know him. I better obey him, because in his love he will guide me through this world to eternal life. If I listen to him, if I read the scriptures, if I listen to him, if I listen to the saints, you see, they will guide me to eternal life, and I'll stay away from those things that can corrupt me and make me unfit for eternal life, you see. So then, you see, the only ruler who will make manifest the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, and whom no being has seen or can see, to him be honor and glory forever. Why is Paul so sure of that? See? Having immortality and dwelling in unapproachable light, who knows, whom nobody of man has ever seen or can see, to him, timi ke kratos eonion, I mean, glory and power. Did how do they translate that? Honor and eternal power. Amen. Because it is kratos eonion. All right. Now he moves on. Tell the rich. Let's see. This is going to go on to 16. No, this part that I'm going to read now is not for the reading on this Sunday, but it follows. Whether it's for the reading on the next Sunday, I could take a look right here and tell you. This is what cycle am I in? Cycle C. 26th. What about the 27th Sunday here? Sometimes they pick right up from the last time. Sometimes they don't. These are tough readings next time, too. It's about, you know, the rich man and Lazarus at his door. Remember that? And now Lazarus is happy, and the rich man, you see, wait a minute, I'm in the wrong cycle here. I just want to try to find out. Here we go. Timothy. But you can notice how there is always this undertone when giving advice to people in pastoral positions. Care for the poor. That's why, as I say, our Pope has tried to call us back to that concern. It's not a hand-wringing concern, oh dear, I hope something happens good for them. Nor is it a one, I've got to take my kids out of private school and give them money. No. You've got to go to the Lord and ask him, how can I serve you and the poor? What can I do? And listen to what he tells you. And if it's an important move, if you have a spiritual director, check it out with them. If you don't, go talk to some wise person who can help you discern whether that's really the Lord or not. If you think the Lord is saying, you know, give away $100 a month to the poor, that's not a big discernment. And $1,200 a year to help the poor, that's nothing. But if it's big stuff, you want to get that discerned. So you don't do something, go beyond your resources, you know, what you can really do spiritually. And so that's this text we have here, you see. Pursue righteousness. They're better in Greek. Where are they? Dikaiosyne. Never mind. Love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Agonizin, I'm quite sure in the text, to which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence. What is that noble confession? To this day, if they're going to ordain somebody, the first thing they say is, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? I mean, you've got to make an act of faith. Yes, I believe in all this. I'm willing to die for it. then you can get ordained. And so that's what's being told to these people now. I think we've done enough for that. Maybe I could take another minute or so. You see this, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. And this is the advice to the clergy. Avoid profane babbling and the absurdities of so-called knowledge. So much stuff on the internet. Huh? By professing it, some people have deviated from the faith. Grace be with all of you. And that's it. Guard what has been entrusted to you. That's why at ordination, you see the bishop hands the Bible. Here, hold it. This is what's been entrusted to you. You have to understand that, and you have to impart it to God's people so that they can be enlightened and strengthened and live lives that will bring them to eternal life. You've got to fight for that. And that's why we're doing what we're doing here with these texts. All right? Now we're going to move on to the gospel.